Welcome to Voices Unplugged, featuring stories that matter, voices that inspire, and perspectives that may challenge the status quo. Unplug from the noise of everyday life to connect with fascinating student hosts from all walks of life. So grab your headphones, sit back, and let's amplify the conversations that need to be heard.
Disclaimer. Yeah, so in this podcast, we're going to get into some rough and tough topics. Self-harm is one of them. Mental illness is some other topics we're going to get into. Just regular things that may or may not trigger. SA might be a topic that we get into. And abortion is a topic that we will get into. So with all of these things, I want to be clear that this is our lives. This is our mother's lives. This is other people's lives and stories. And while it is extremely sensitive information, it's more sensitive to us. So apologies in the beginning if we do trigger you with our stories. If this is going to be an issue, this may not be a podcast for you, and we are okay with you turning it off and doing something differently. We are all for self-help.
Mother May I is a podcast for daughters without mothers. A podcast about two women sharing their experiences navigating life without their mothers after losing them at a young age.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, my babies.
It's your girl, Bree.
And it's your girl, Gabs.
And welcome to
the first episode of
Mother May I. All right, so I'm going to do the introduction. My name is Bree, and I am a 32-year-old single black female ready to mingle. Don't look at me like that. No, but for real, I am a 32-year-old black female. I have a unique situation. So I technically lost my biological mother when I was only 12 days old due to suicide. No one wants to actually admit to that's what it was, but that's what it was. And you might say, well, how do you know that's what it was? I know that's what it was because I looked into the coroner's report and it said overdose of medication. So you don't do that by accident, especially not when you had depression. So it is what it is. I've accepted that. This was the 90s. I really don't think that too many women and doctors were aware of postpartum depression at the time. If you are a woman who has ever had any issues with the medical field not taking you seriously, then you know what I'm talking about. And this was the 90s, so it was even worse. But I became a two-time mother, lost daughter. That's not a thing. But I lost a second mom. She technically was my aunt, but she raised me from the time of basically conception, if you will. I was only about 12 days, 15 days old, not even a month old yet when she took over and continued to raise me for the rest of my life. She passed when I was 17, and a lot happened in between those times, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when I lost her, and that's when I lost both my moms. The prompt for this, or the question for this, is when did it dawn on you that not having your mom will impact the rest of your life? And for me, it was when I was 18, maybe 19. I think I was 19 or no, I was almost 19, but I wasn't 19 just yet. Anyway, long story short, I just finished failing at my first year of college. Cause my mom had just passed away the year before that, right before I started college. So I had just failed out of college first year, and was coming into adulthood on my own. And when I looked around and I knew that I needed help, but I had no one to really go to, I went to certain members of my family and felt as though I didn't get the help that I watched my cousins get when they went to their moms, or when my friends went to their moms, and everyone really got a different level of help. I got a handout, and I do not appreciate. I definitely appreciate what I did get. Don't get me wrong. To all of those who had a hand in helping raising me and helping me, I do appreciate it. Just know though, it was different, and I noticed and I saw the difference. It was depressing, and that shaped quite a bit of my young adulthood. Knowing that you had to enter adulthood not really knowing what you're doing, and also without pretty much guidance, because you don't have that person to look out for you the same way a mother does.
Hey guys, this is Gabby, the second half of the Mother May I podcast, and I just wanted to do a quick introduction about myself. My name is Gabrielle, and I am at 31. And I lost my mother in 2004, when I was about 10, 11. And I lost her to from my knowledge at the time, from complications with pneumonia and other health complications that she had. But the pneumonia played a very big part. It was definitely an experience, not having your mother, seeing her in the hospital, but not actually, you know, being able to recognize and compute that she may not be coming home, especially as a child as a young age. I will say that it really hit me that I would not have my mom in my life probably around 15, 16. Is when it hit. And it's like, she's not here. But it didn't really affect me until I actually became a quote-unquote full adult myself. Like, you know, 20s, 21, 22, whatever. And after I had my own daughter, which is kind of crazy because the age that my daughter is now is the age that I lost my mom. So it's kind of been like a mirror thing and just, you know, seeing things about her that I see in myself. But I said all that to say that it was an experience. And I hope through this podcast we can share our experiences with the listeners and hopefully let other women out there, or men, if you guys find your way to this podcast, but we're here for the ladies. But anyone,
and those
really
that identify as lady,
absolutely, that you guys aren't alone. There may be people out here that probably share some of the same experiences, and if not the exact same experiences, because we're all different, but some of the little similarities, and you can find some comfort and solace knowing that you're not alone and that we see you and we hurt the same way that you hurt too.
Today I'm here at Adrian College with Brock Hudick and Colton Hicks, baseball players at Adrian College. We will be discussing the aspects of being a college athlete that some may not think about. What does your week look like with school and practice? How often do you have class and practice?
I'm taking 13 credits, but I was taking 16. I had to drop a class because it was too much, because I have class Monday through Thursday. Practice is usually Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 7:30 to 9:30, and I usually don't get home until 12:30.
Yeah, so a lot of the similar schedule. I took 17 credit hours this semester. I'm usually in class until about 6:15 to 7:15, depending on the day. We practice 4 days a week, same thing. We usually play games on weekends, and we're up usually pretty late in the gym 4 to 6 days a week.
What's the biggest difference between being a student athlete in high school and being a student athlete in college?
I would say schoolwork eats up a lot more of your time than it did in high school. A lot more of your free time is spent doing homework or studying. The requirements are a lot more difficult to maintain now. Eligibility and all those things. GPAs are higher, and obviously the classes are more difficult.
But college sports feels like a job. I have to work out and go hit outside of practice multiple times a week.
What are you looking to gain from playing sports in college?
I'd like to play at a higher level if possible. I hope playing helps me with my communication skills. It has been helping me with my time management with school, practice, lifting, and games. I also feel like it will help with developing life skills such as communication, decision making, and teamwork. I'd like to develop these skills because they are important to have when I get a job.
And now a message from our sponsor. This commercial break is sponsored by Evolve Plastic Surgery and Medical Aesthetics, located here in Toledo, Ohio. Experts in both plastic surgery and non-surgical aesthetics who believe in creating unique and personalized, comprehensive aesthetic programs that provide natural and balanced outcomes. Optimize skin health, reduce skin cancer and the signs of aging, and improve confidence, self-esteem, and happiness. Interested in learning more? Call 409-720-2008. That is 409-720-2008. Does being a student athlete prevent you from doing things that you enjoy, such as seeing your friends and family?
It makes it so I can't see my friends and family very often. The only time I can see them is on the weekends, but most weekends we have games.
Yeah, it definitely limits your ability to, like, see your family, especially to, like, go home and see some of your family that can't really come around to games and things like that.
Are there any differences with being a college athlete compared to being a high school athlete that you were unaware of?
When I first started, I didn't realize how much work I had have to put in outside of practice. The varsity team works out together, but on the club team, you have to work out and practice on your own, which takes up a lot of your time. I also did not know that our games in the fall mattered towards our regular season record. We have to practice in the summer to get ready for our fall games, so we practice basically all year round. We do not get very many breaks.
If you could go back in time, what would you tell your younger self about college athletics?
If I could go back in time, I wish I would have told myself to work out more consistently and take practices more seriously. I feel like I have the skills to play, but I'm not as strong as the other guys. I would also tell myself I need to spend more time on schoolwork because the classes are harder and requirements are harder to maintain. In the fall semester, I failed to meet the requirements and can't play in the spring. Now that I've taken it more seriously, I now meet the requirements to play, but I feel like I have fell behind because I have not been able to play in games.
Do you feel like there should be more benefits for college student athletes, such as scholarships, less classes, less strict academic requirements?
Well, Adrian is a Division III school, so they do not give out athletic scholarships. I do feel like there should be some new benefits, like lighter academic requirements. I spend a lot of time practicing because I have to, and I am required to take at least 13 credits in order to play. If the academic requirements were easier to maintain, I feel like I would be able to spend more time practicing without having to worry about school as much. Less academic requirements would make the athletic experience a lot more fun.
Thank you for joining us on Voices Unplugged. Keep listening, keep learning, and keep leading those voices.